The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Welcome into the Brad Sesmat Show. I'm Jordan Hamm filling in for the big guy here on this very busy Wednesday morning. I have a lot going on. Waste Management Open. Suns lose a heartbreaker, another heartbreaker, and a lot of news with the Arizona Diamondbacks. So let's waste no time. Jump in to our rundown that's brought to you by Sagicor Now. Sagicor Now, protect what matters most. And on the Diamondbacks front, let's start off with them. Torey Lovello has signed a two-year extension, according to The Athletic. Zach Buchanan, the announcement was made yesterday. Buchanan able to deduce that it is for 2 years. So that would put him through the 2021 season. And to me, I think this is a no-brainer. He came in with a very talented team, but the talented team that really underperformed the year before he got there, they were able to make the playoffs in his first season. He won National League Manager of the Year, and then the Diamondbacks get very close to that postseason again in his second season. And a lot of times, as Buchanan points out, you don't really want a lame duck manager. You don't want a guy on his last year of his contract. So this contract makes sense, but I also think he deserves it because of what he's been able to turn around. And yes, this Diamondbacks team is far from perfect. They were when they made the postseason. They were certainly last year. And they've taken a step back talent-wise. And that's why I think fans need to remember what Torey Lovello has done in his first 2 years when moving forward, when things aren't going to presumably be, up to what it was the first couple of years. He set the bar high. He made the postseason in his first year. But when you lose Paul Goldschmidt, when you lose AJ Pollock, when you lose Patrick Corbin, those are going to be huge holes to fill. And I think that this is still a competitive ball club. I think they may even be able to make a run. I know that sounds crazy, but I think that they still have an ace in Zach Greinke. If Robbie Ray can bounce back, then all of a sudden you're in pretty good shape with a 1-2 punch. Luke Weaver, who in his first season of major league service with the Cardinals, looked very good. Then he took a step back. Same deal with Carson Kelly, the catcher that was brought over in the Paul Goldschmidt deal. So I think there's still a lot to like about this team, but no, they'll likely take a step back. And that's when the pitchforks can't come out. That's when you can't, start calling for Lovello's job and have such a short memory on what he was able to accomplish. Because I think he's really changed the culture here. So I think that the patience is needed with this as they go through a rebuild. No matter how big that rebuild is, it could be a couple steps back and then they're back in it in a year or two and with a replenished farm system. They have 9 picks in like the first 100 picks. In this upcoming MLB draft. Usually that works out for the teams trying to rebuild. And that's the reason that, teams were so hesitant to sign AJ Pollock. Because if it was for a big deal, they were going to have to give up a draft pick. Diamondbacks get a competitive balance pick. Should be in the 32 to 35 range. And they got one for Corbin. They got one for Paul Goldschmidt. They didn't sign their first round pick last year. So they have 2 first rounders. All of a sudden, they're looking pretty good. In terms of the draft. But that points to a rebuild is coming. And it could be a small one. It could be a long-term one where they bring it down to the studs. I think Torey Lovello is the man for the job to help oversee this. Now, I've only seen him as a manager with very established teams. When he was an interim manager with the Red Sox, the 2 years with the Diamondbacks, you had established veterans. You didn't have that young of a team. It's a lot of guys that had logged a lot of MLB time, and most of the moves that they made were proven MLB guys coming in. John Jay, Fernando Rodney, Brad Boxberger, Yoshi Hirano. He wasn't a big leaguer here in the States, but he was a longtime big leaguer in Japan. But when you look at some of these young guys that were able to come up and find some success, Zach Godley. I think that what this coaching staff was able to do with Zach Godley to help get him over the hump in his first year as a really established a big league starter, he was dominant, and he was a big reason why they made the postseason. Then you look the following year, you know, there were some struggles, but there's some good development there. Ketel Marte, he continues to grow into a very good middle infielder. And whether he plays middle infield or he plays center field, I think he's an everyday baseball player on a National League West team. Now, personally, I think he should stay in the middle infield, but that's a topic for another day. But we've seen his growth since they were able to get him along with Taijuan Walker. And Taijuan Walker had a really good year, the best year of his career before he got hurt. His 2018 was cut short, but he had a very good 2017 and really came on strong. And I think that is there's enough proof here that Torey Lovullo can develop a young team, even though predominantly most of his talent has been that established talent. It's going to come up big this year with the aforementioned Luke Weaver, Carson Kelly, Merrill Kelly. A lot of these guys that they're bringing in are starting to be younger players. And the Matt Cooks that are those high A guys. As they replenish this farm system, the development's going to be key at that level, but the development's going to be key with Lovullo and his coaching staff at the major league level once they get to it. I think he's the man for the job. I think I've seen enough for him to be able to do that. So I think it's a good move that Torey Lovullo has moved or signed his extension. Reports coming out this morning that Greg Holland, the reliever, has signed a one-year deal with the Diamondbacks. Ken Rosenthal and Robert Murray first reported that one. Greg Holland a couple years ago was one of the best closers in the game. He struggled a lot last year. 7.92 ERA, 2.24 WHIP, 32 games. And it was tough for him when he was with the Cardinals. He makes the move to the Washington Nationals, 0.84 ERA, 0.89 WHIP. And this was something I was looking at as we approach spring training. We're 2 weeks away. 2 weeks away from that. You know, I believe it's the 13th that pitchers and catchers report. And like what we saw last year, with a Steven Souza deal that happened late, right before spring training. Actually, I think during spring training. It was the first couple days of spring training. This slow off season means guys are starting to, put their contract expectations maybe a little bit lower. So more established guys may take a one-off deal. And that's what the Diamondbacks seem to have accomplished, signing an established reliever. 2017 with the Rockies, he was an all-star. And from 2010 to 2015, he was an all-star in 2013 and 2014, became one of the best closers in baseball. Now, I don't know if he's going to be a closer. I don't know if he's going to be a late-inning guy. It seems similar but different to the Brad Boxberger experiment last year, which I think for the most part worked for most of the year. Once we hit September, the wheels kind of fell off, but that's the case with the entire team. When you look at what Holland's been able to accomplish, both Boxberger and Holland were coming off of injuries when they joined the Diamondbacks. And look, right now I think it's a three-horse race between Archie Bradley, Yoshi Hirano, and Greg Holland on who the closer could be. Archie put out some tweets last week saying closing time, and everyone thought, oh, he might be named the closer. Torey Lovullo kind of quickly squashed that. Then he put out a tweet that said, start me up. What's he going to do next? Jimmy Eat World the middle? If he's going to be a middle reliever? I don't know. But that's going to be one of the most debated portions of spring training, certainly, is who's going to get that closer role. And look, Yoshi pitched very well in his first year. He had that streak where he was just unhittable. Archie, over, I'd say, 1 3/4 of his 2 years relieving, has been lights out. He's been that trump card. He's been, I make the analogy all the times. I have multiple times on Diamonds in the Desert, in Avengers, when Loki is saying, I have an army, and Tony Stark says, we have a Hulk. Archie Bradley was that Hulk. It's, hey, we have a beard. We're going to stop whatever you're going to do offensively. Again, the wheels kind of fell off late in the season. He struggled. Really, everybody struggled. I would be totally fine with any three of these guys getting the closer job. And you know that Lovello is going to give all three a proper chance. And whoever gets that job is probably going to have a longer leash than most people want. But I think that worked out with Fernando Rodney. Say what you will about Fernando Rodney and his time at the Diamondbacks. Was he one of the most exciting players in baseball? Yes, because sometimes he could make a four-run lead into a one-run lead real quick. But more often than not, he would get the save. With the exception of a few times at Dodger Stadium where it went real bad, he was a pretty darn good closer. But there were a lot of people calling for Archie Bradley to take over for him. And then Fernando Rodney got some key outs in that postseason run. So I think Torey Lovello, this circles back to Lovello. I think he trusts his guys. And I think that there's enough talent to put a competitive ball team out here. And who knows what may happen. There may be, you know, a trade that comes about, or another guy that, you know, may not be the Bryce Harper, the Manny Machado, but a really good player that's still out there. Mike Hazen may swoop in. Who knows? They're gonna require some flexibility this year, definitely. But I'm looking forward to seeing what is going to happen with them over the next couple of years, and I think Lovello is the right choice. Coming up on the Brad Sesmat Show, we're going to talk Suns, another heartbreaking loss, but maybe some reason for optimism, and I think there's a good indication that they should really do something in the next 8 days or so. That's coming up next on the Brad Sesmat Show. Welcome back to the Brad Sesmat Show. I'm Jordan Hamm filling in for the big guy. Talked a lot of Diamondbacks here in segment A. Now let's shift gears to the Phoenix Suns. Suns just can't catch a break. They played really well last night against the San Antonio Spurs, but lose 126-124. Rudy Gay hits a buzzer beater. Kelly Oubre Jr. did just about everything you can when guarding Rudy Gay, but they were able to take the win. It was to the point where Greg Popovich, after the game, said Phoenix got robbed. Because it seemed like the Spurs didn't care. They were disrespectful to the game, and they were still able to escape with a win. I think that might be a backhanded troll job, but I'm not entirely sure. Reasons for optimism here. Devin Booker with 38 points, over 70% shooting. That's the fifth time that's happened. We saw a different Devin Booker last night, and we've seen plenty of frustration from him, whether it's with his own teammates, whether it's trying to fight a role player in the tunnels, whether it's just his demeanor on the court. Last night, it seemed like he channeled it to another level, and that's what the great players do, and I think Devin Booker is a great NBA player, or developing into one, at least. And I think that he obviously... This is going to be news-breaking and groundbreaking analysis, but he's the future of the Phoenix Suns. So you need to keep this guy happy because you see what he did last night. You see what he did last night without a quality NBA point guard. D'Anthony Melton's been a very nice addition stopgap, but that's why the Suns right now need to go all in on a Jrue Holiday, on a Lonzo Ball. They need to hope that this Anthony Davis deal happens sooner rather than later. If it waits until the offseason, I think it's going to be more of a price tag. I think if you're able to, you know, sneak your way in with a trade right before the trade deadline with the Pelicans and get involved with the Lakers, whatever it may be, you go get a quality point guard. Because I've said it before, I'll say it again, it's more positionless basketball than it's ever been. And that's clear. But no matter, you still need one position, and that's distributor. In this current NBA landscape, if there are a bunch of scorers out there, you need a guy that can get them the ball. And you need a guy that can defend against the other positionless basketball. And who fits that bill but Jrue Holiday, Lonzo Ball? Now, I would, if we're going to talk scenarios here, I think Jrue Holiday's the guy to go for. He's an established veteran. You're not bringing in another rookie second-year player to play alongside Devin Booker. You're giving a guy that can help shoulder the load, a veteran that's been through the ups and downs of the NBA, when really the only one on this team, or only, two, is Jamal Crawford and Ryan Anderson. And Ryan Anderson isn't playing right now. So it's really Jamal Crawford in a reserve role, and that's kind of what these leaders, you know, locker room guys have been for the Phoenix Suns. It's been the Tyson Chandlers, the Jared Dudleys of the world. Both great guys, you know, solid NBA players, but you need a guy that can really help go take over a game. And I think Drew Holiday can do that with his defense. Not the best shot, but he'll distribute. You have 1,400 wings on this team. If you can go ahead and get a distributor to that, then this completely changes the team. And are they still going to be a top 10 pick? Yeah. Top 5? Probably. But then you can keep the long-term goal of the guy who just signed the long-term deal happy. Because how far away, and this is has been quite a few people that have put this out there, when is Devin Booker going to be the next Anthony Davis that says, I want out of here? Because he's been here quite a few years. He hasn't won. He's always been the best player on the court. He's had people around him say, I don't want to be here. And, you know, Trevor Ariza shows up for 10 minutes and then is jettisoned off because you can tell he doesn't care. Tyson Chandler's asking for trades. So when will he be next? You got to get him a point guard. Lonzo Ball, if you can go give up a wing and maybe a protected pick or something like that. I'm not going to go into, you know, mock trade radio. That's just not productive. I'll put it that way. But Lonzo Ball, yeah, he's a young guy, but he defends. He can distribute to guys, and he'll make sure that those lanes are open for DeAndre Ayton, for whichever wings remain on this team, for Devin Booker. And I think that's going to be a real key for the Phoenix Suns moving forward. So I did one movie reference in the A segment. I'm going to do another one from the classic John Wick 2. Lawrence Fishburne tells one of his underlings to get John Wick a gun. Get Devin Booker a point guard, please. Coming up next on the Brad Sesmet Show, it's actually going to be a couple of our segments from the five-star sit-down. We are just a week away from signing day, so Devin Henry and I are going to talk to a couple of coaches, Jeff Bowen over at ACU and Chris Ball from NAU, the newly hired head coach. He gives some great insights, some great stories about Aaron Flugrad, a former Sun Devil, current NAU Lumberjack. That's coming up on the Brad Sesmet Show.